This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of Mac's List. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps you find a fulfilling career. One of the best ways to get good at job hunting is to talk to people who do it well. That's why once a month, I interview a Mac's List reader who found a job they love. Our guest today is Megan Sinnott. She's the executive director of Portland Made. It's a collective that organizes networking and educational events to grow local businesses. Megan Sinnott doesn't recommend sending out lots of applications as many job seekers do. In a story you can find on the Mac's List website, Megan suggests instead that you focus on networking, volunteering, and contract work. This helped her make connections, improve her skills, and learn about new opportunities. Megan, why do you love your job?
Oh, I love my job because I get to do a little bit of everything that I would like to do. And I get to be the connector that I naturally am. I get to meet new people every day and even virtually and learn a little bit about the city that I love.
Well, let's talk about your job search. What was the biggest challenge you faced?
100%, hands down, in like intense self-doubt. Yeah, just always second guessing and not believing that I was qualified for the jobs I was applying for.
It's a common challenge for so many job seekers. When you were dealing with that, Megan, what worked best for you?
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. When I was technically unemployed, I really didn't look for work. Instead, I took contract gigs and as they kind of fell in my lap and I volunteered and just kind of hit the streets doing the things that I could to meet people, but not as an act of like not to, and you know, to meet the end of a job, but more as like a nervous habit. It was like my way to just keep on going and trudge forward was to not sit. And so I really did not apply to that many jobs in the time between when I left my job as marketing director and when I became director of Portland Made. Instead, it was just figuring out how I could just keep on connecting and doing the things that I like to do.
How did being in the community, volunteering, doing contract work, how did that help you deal with that self-doubt that you mentioned a moment ago?
What I found was, as people who I had regularly been volunteering with discovered that I was unemployed, they were ecstatic at the opportunity of being able to kind of plug me into wherever they could find. And that was wildly supportive. And it kind of opened my eyes up to what other people were seeing as my skill sets. And so it was having the opportunity for people who had kind of seen me in action to be able to say, you're really great at these many things. And would you be interested in doing more here? Or I have a friend looking for somebody who, you know, to do the things that you already do. May I connect you? And so it was really having those champions in the community, you know, surrounding my volunteer world, but also just my acquaintances, friends who had seen my work and been fans of the things that I had done as a volunteer.
That had to be so affirming. Were there other things that you did during your job search, Megan, that provided that same kind of affirmation besides volunteering?
Oh man, applying for jobs can be really hard for some people. And so, you know, for me, I'm dyslexic and amongst some other learning differences, and that really impacts my ability to keep track of edits I've made to my resume, to feel like my cover letters are hitting all the points that I want them to hit. And so, you know, aside from those few champions and honestly a supportive partner, there wasn't much other than the successful events that I was hosting. So as a volunteer and as a contract worker, I was having these really kick butt events that had, you know, beginning, middle, and end. And for me, that's kind of the gold of volunteering, is you get to pick and choose projects that you can walk away from and feel like you've succeeded. So having those sort of opportunities can certainly be a boost.
You mentioned the champions that helped you during your job search. Who were these people, Megan, and what difference did they make?
It was usually people who that I'd had the opportunity in the past to support. You know, I say the term volunteer kind of broadly. I feel like a lot of the work that I've done in my life has been volunteer work, but really that's just the term that I use for getting out, being active, connecting, making friends, making a city that I want to see. So it's varied. And the people who were able to kind of appreciate the work that I've done over the years were people largely who were a part of nonprofit boards, people who were themselves community organizers, people who were big supporters and believers in this beautiful city that we're in and who were proponents of it in one way, shape, or form. So it was people who could identify the projects that I'd been a part of and who I'd gifted the time that I had to be the connector that I am. And I think there's, you know, I guess I took for granted all the times that I had took an afternoon off to go support somebody in a project that they were doing, or done a friend a favor and taken a visiting journalist around to go visit local makers, or whatever the case may be. At the time, it seemed fun, right? Like, oh, I get to meet somebody from visiting from out of town, and maybe my lunch will get paid for, and I'm a sucker for being on camera. Maybe I'll get filmed, you know, whatever the case may be. Although it was technically volunteer work, there was a lot of reward in that, both for me and my connections. So often people who were, you know, in charge of projects that just simply didn't have the funding to pay individuals. So, I fully recognize now, you know, there's a huge good movement to kind of question the world of volunteerism and question, you know, who has the ability to take time and donate time and donate their services. And to be honest, Mac, when I was interviewed for your piece that you have on your website, I got a little pushback and flack specifically from mothers, women who, you know, aren't afforded the same freedom that at the time, you know, when I got this job as director, I was just recently in a larger, more serious relationship. I'm now married. Heyo. but I got some pushback from mothers saying that it's a privileged place to be, to have the opportunity to volunteer. And I hear that and I agree. And I would also say that, you know, we all make decisions on how we spend our time. And for me, you know, simply attending a party or going to a networking event, those kind of social activities are not good places for me. I get anxious. I people see me as an extrovert, and I'm sure there's a proper term for my introvert, extrovert qualities, but I love being out and about, but I really need a reason to be out there. And so volunteering, if that's what we're going to call it, basically being at an event with a purpose is my way to be comfortable in a social setting. And so, you know, some people, you know, volunteer at their kids' school, some people volunteer at church. And for me, it was largely community events surrounded around the biking world and the maker world. And so that's where I ended up getting my jobs in the end.
And I'm curious about those champions, Megan. Mm-hmm. Did they step forward and offer their help, or did you reach out to them, or was it a combination of the two?
Oh, I was never very good at reaching out for help. Instead, it was the champions coming to me and saying, hey, I hear that you just left your job and you would like to kind of reset for a moment. That's great, but how about starting a new gig in 2 weeks? Are you available for this project that you've would never think that you're qualified for? I'm like, oh, I guess, you know, if you think I am. And so, yeah, it was people who saw something in me that I didn't see in myself.
You mentioned in your article for us that you sent only one formal application for a job. Why was that, Megan? What was the strategy there?
Strategy. Geez, Mac, do we all have to have strategy?
Not at all, Megan. Tell us your story.
I mean, for me, it was applying for jobs is paralyzing for me. As some people might enjoy it, and that's wonderful, but it was hard to land on the job search sites, find a job, understand what the job really is, and then understand how you could convince somebody that you were the fit that you saw that you were. And, you know, it's a bunch of back and forth self-doubt of like, do you understand what the role is? Do you understand what the company is? Do you think that the company is actually asking for what they need? Do you think you have what it is that they need? Will they understand that when they see you? And so, you know, it's like, you could do anything. And at the same time, if you don't know somebody at the company, what chance do you really have to convince them? And I understand you have the resume, you have your online presence, you have your, you know, lovely, well-crafted letter, but in a sea of applications, it just goes adrift. So I spent my time building my foundation, figuring out who I was, what I wanted to do, where I was making the most impact, and you know, strategies, plans, I'm not sure, but it was more figuring out, honestly, this is terrible, but it was the path of least resistance. It was, saving up enough money before I left my former job so that I could not rush into anything. And so I only really approached any possible job if I felt like it was a surefire fit. And it was only one that was kind of a cold call where, oh man, it felt good. I was stoked. And, you know, even if it wasn't the right job, I knew it was an interesting step in a direction that I was curious about. And let's be honest, it was a good paying job. So I was like, hey, these are great. You know, things are really falling into line here. This would make sense. And so I applied to that job, didn't even get a response, like no, thanks for your letter, or we've got you on the list, nothing. And that can be really disheartening as well, is kind of feeling like, you know, for me, I can't just sit down and push out a cover letter. It takes time. I really debate about it. I write it, I rewrite it. I write three versions. I scrap one. I take pieces. I put it together. I throw them all away. I start over. It's draining on me, on my partner, on my family. and it really is a full-time job. So what's more fun than writing a cover letter again and again is living life and figuring out who wants you, who's saying that they're interested in your time. even if they can't pay you the thousands of dollars you want, if it's a contract gig, they can pay you only for a little bit of time. At least that's experience. At least you get to work with individuals who can appreciate the work that you do. And then through that, you're making new connections. And so I guess that was my strategy, although I don't know that I knew that I had a plan.
It seems very clear, Megan. What didn't work in your job search?
Any of those. Well, I would say the most frustrating thing was I had put high hopes in having a recruiter kind of do some of the work for me. And I'm sure that there are recruiting agencies out there who can deal with the Megan Sinnott of the world, but I think I really stumped the agencies I approached. We would have a few meetings and then it would be crickets, like not even a single job that they'd push my way. So I would say that hoping that somebody else that didn't really know me could be a champion for me in my future was not a successful move for me.
Finally, what's your number one job hunting tip?
To not take for granted the things that you love, the things that you do well, and the world you've already created for yourself. I don't mean to say that you should, you know, post on Facebook to say that you're looking for a job. You could certainly do that, but it's more when possible, being generous with your skills, your time, your knowledge, your support, and being a good community member and friend, and people will recognize your skill set and the value that you bring to the community around you and the community at large. So simply to not neglect the world that you've created and that you want to see. To feed into that, because if you nurture the world around you, it will give back.
Well, thank you for sharing your story, Megan. To learn more about Megan Sinnott's job search, visit maxlist.org/stories. And check out the MaxList website for dozens of other success stories. On the second Friday of every month, we add a new interview with a MaxList reader who's found a dream job. Go to maxlist.org/stories. In the meantime, thank you for listening to today's bonus episode of Find Your Dream Job.